Matthew 27, this morning, let's start in verse, and again, thank you for being here. God bless you. A lot of people find out the pastor's gone, and all of a sudden they're gone.
Right.
Don't do that. Amen. Don't do that. My daddy used to always say you can tell how popular the church is by Sunday morning crowd and how popular the preacher is on Sunday night crowd, and you can find out how popular the Lord is on the prayer meeting crowd. There's a lot of truth in that. Amen. So be in church when the doors are open. God will bless you. All right, Matthew 27, and look at verse number 11. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest." And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, "Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas, or Jesus, which is called Christ?" For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, "Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why? What evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Let's pray together. Can we do that? Lord, I thank you for, Lord, the privilege of being here, Lord, in this place at this time. Lord, the best I know how, I'm where I need to be for this spot of the journey. And I thank you for each one that, Lord, came to your house today and gathered together. We thank you for what you've already done in our hearts through the Sunday school, through the singing, through the fellowship, and, Lord, certainly the reading of your word. And, Lord, I pray now you'd help me to say just what I should and nothing more or less. And Lord, I'd rather close my Bible and sit down than to say something wrong or in some way, Lord, to hinder, Lord, your working in the hearts of these dear people. So, Lord, help me to just, Lord, to be faithful and to say what I should, nothing more or less. And Lord, remind all of us, starting behind this pulpit, Lord, that, as the Spirit of God speaks to our heart through your word, that there's responsibility we have then to respond. Lord, when the invitation comes, I pray that every decision that ought to be made will be made. Lord, we'll probably never be again together just like this. Lord, this crowd, where the circumstances in our life are all they are right now, Lord, this is a unique time and in a unique spot in life's journey. And Lord, I pray that in our hearts would be accomplished your will, Lord, for this hour. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The trial of the Lord Jesus is recorded in Scripture in a very exacting detail. If you take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as well as other portions of the Scripture, it's amazing at the detail that God chose to give us about the trial of the Lord Jesus. I've got a sermon I preached, not this morning, but it's amazing how illegal it was. It was held at night. You're not supposed to do that. Jesus was not afforded legal representation. That was against their law. I mean, the list goes on and on. Really, there were six trials, if you will. He was taken from one place to another all night long. And we could preach until he comes for us and never cover it all. But in all of the information that we are giving about We call it the trial of Jesus. Again, there was nothing legal, even by Roman law, about it. So if you call it a trial, in all that information that we are giving, it's interesting how we have so much information about a man by the name of Pilate. An incredible amount is said about Pilate. He was the governor of Judea. And Pilate was not happy with any of it. He would very happily have got out of the whole ordeal if he just could. He just could not. He kept trying to weasel out one way or another, but it kept coming back to him when Jesus stood before him. He was faced with the question. Verse number 22, do you see that? We just read it. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Pilate wanted somebody else to do something with Jesus, but not him. He wanted somebody else to make a ruling, but not him. He tried so desperately, but yet this question kept coming back, what will I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Whole truth is that every man, woman, boy, or girl faces that same question. Now, we're not in Pilate's hall, and we're not governors of Judea, but yet all of us has to answer that question, what will we do with the Lord Jesus Christ? It's a pressing question. You can't put it off. It's a personal question. I can't do it for you, and you cannot do it for me. It's a present question. We'll answer it this morning. You say, well, no, Brother Terrell, I'll just do it later. Jesus said, he that's not with me is against me. He that gathereth not scattereth abroad. Here this morning, if you know not the Savior, and you listen to me, you're in a church that loves you. I hope you understand that. I'm not a Calvinist. Don't call me a Calvinist. We're going to have a problem if you call me a Calvinist, you know. But I do believe that God brings us and woos us and calls us. And I don't believe it's an accident that you are here today in a group of people that loved you, where the gospel is sung, where in the moment you're going to have an opportunity to respond. Now, I believe you have to make the choice whether you're going to do that or not. But yet, God is wooing your heart, if he will, loving you from the throne, if you will. And you listen, you're going to have to decide, what will you do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? And to say, not, you say, well, I'm not going to say yes or no. If you don't say yes, you did say no.
That's right.
You have. That Pilate's trial depended on what he would do with Jesus. Jesus was on trial in a sense before Pilate, but the whole truth is that Pilate was on trial before God. And what God was going to do with Pilate depended upon what Pilate was going to do with Jesus. And when you stand before God someday, the ultimate issue is this, and the day is coming. Friend, listen to me. The day will surely come when nothing else is going to matter to you except what you did with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's going to make the difference in everything else. That Pilate could have made the right decision. He had some privileges, if you will. God gave him a choice. He came face to face with the Savior, talked with the Lord Jesus Christ. That'll take this weird, but it was this some voice that spoke to him. I don't mean, I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about what was going through his mind. What people were saying to him. And you can see how he could have made the right decision. That one thing, he had a conscience. Pilate said in Luke 23:4, he said this, I find no fault in this man. Pilate was not a standard of morality, and he wasn't who you'd want to name your children after, but he wasn't stupid. He wasn't stupid. And here comes this crowd in here, crucify this man, and he's standing there in a place of authority in the Roman government, and there's a very natural question for anybody, a good judge or a sorry one, to ask, what's he done? What evil has he done? That he knew that that conscience thundered in his head. Friend, listen to me. You'll find no fault with Jesus. You won't find a fault with Jesus. You say, well, I know this preacher. You don't want to share stories with me. I'm telling you. I'm 66 years old. I've been in church all of my life. And some of y'all understand this. There ain't nothing going to shock me now. Well, I know. Well, you probably do. Well, I know what this horrible thing some preacher did. You probably do. If you want to share stories, I'm going to beat you. But, you'll find no fault with Jesus. Well, I know a deacon, but you don't find a fault with Jesus. My Sunday school, well, my uncle, he said he was saved. And what difference does any of that make? I'm not depending on your uncle or your old Sunday school teacher or your preacher to take me to heaven. I'm depending upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something. You will find no fault with him. Oh, Pilate, as sorry as he was, he made a simple statement that was so true. I find no fault in him. Yes. Jesus looked at his worst enemies and said, which of you convinces me of evil? What have I done? Me and you can't look at our best friends and say that. Jesus looked at his worst enemies and said, what evil have I done? There's a simple answer. None. Yes. He was the unspotted lamb. None. Amen. Remember that when Jesus came into the Jerusalem on riding little donkey on the palm leaves and entered in. You know the last week of, I wasn't planning on getting into all this, but the last week of the Savior's ministry upon this earth, you would kind of think, well, 3.5 years and you get 1 week and you'll get 0.0% interest, time or something like that. But you got like about a third of the information about Jesus. It deals with that last week that he was upon this earth. Why all the detail? Because the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the politicians that was at one moment singing Hosanna, glory to God, now they're screaming crucify him. But in that, it was like that sacrificial lamb. That priest would come in and that sacrificial lamb, and he'd take that little lamb and he'd put his hands on his head and he'd look in his ears and he'd raise its gums and look at its teeth, and he'll run his hands up and down every leg and he'll put his hands down under, and he's making sure that that lamb is spotless. Oh, yes. And the entire last week of the Lord Jesus' ministry in Jerusalem, they tried desperately to find one flaw, one mistake, one word that wasn't perfect, and they found zip, nothing. Why? Because you'll find no fault in him. Amen. That Pilate knew that. He had the voice of reason. Bible says in Matthew 27, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. That Pilate wasn't stupid. Jesus had huge crowds. He fed thousands. Raised the dead. And here these religious leaders, They were furious. Why? Because they were jealous. They were green-eyed with envy. And Pilate understood that. He knew that for envy. Bible says he knew for envy they had delivered him. Come now, let us reason together. Let's reason together. You're not going to find a fault with the Lord Jesus Christ. And isn't it reasonable then to accept him as Savior? Isn't that reasonable? Listen, friend, if you're here without the Savior this morning, you refusing Christ is not going to shut heaven down. It's just going to shut you out.
That's
all it's going to do. Isn't this reasonable that you have life and that life came from God? Isn't it reasonable that creation demands a creator? I mean, you can listen to all these stories about once I was a tadpole beginning to begin, and then I was a frog with my tail tucked in, and then I was a monkey in a banyan tree, but now I'm a doctor with a PhD. I mean, isn't that silly? Isn't that silly? You don't really believe that. You don't believe? Who gave the bluebird its song? Who taught the robin how to make a nest? Who made the salmon swim back up the stream? You say, well, you know, its mama did. Well, who taught its mama? I mean, at the sunrise, the O.S.M. Lockridge, I believe it was S.M. Lockridge. S.M. Lockridge said, Rembrandt writes Rembrandt, Da Vinci writes Da Vinci on all their work. He said, but you go out in the garden and the dew was on the roses and those dew droplets catch the first glimpses of the morning sun. He said, that doesn't need a signature.
Right.
There's only one that does that. You go out after the summer rain passes and the rainbow fills up the clouds and it goes from here to yon, and you look at it, it doesn't need a signature. There's only one that does that. Amen.
Right.
Haven't you seen people's lives changed by the Savior?
Yes.
Haven't you seen drunks and now they're singing in the choir? Haven't you seen people that were womanizers and cheaters and gamblers and now they're serving God and going out and working bus routes and their little children don't run and hide anymore when they come home? I mean, what in the world happened? Jesus happened. Jesus happened. Way down deep in your heart, you've got a fear of eternity. You lay your head on your pillow at your night and you say, what happens if I die? And sermons on hell scare you to death. And you look at other people and they just have an assurance that you just flat don't have. And God has put eternity in your heart. Why is it there? Because there's a God that loves you. Come now, let us reason together. You want to put your trust in these people that hug trees? You want to put your trust in these people that think we came from monkeys? You want to put your trust in these? Why do you want to put your trust? You want to put your trust in the one that loved you, came to this earth, lived a perfect life, was buried, and rose again, and is knocking on your heart's door today? Then why not do it today? Isn't that reasonable?
Yes.
Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Pilate knew that. He had the voice of reason. He had the voice of a loved one. Matthew 20, look at verse 19. Now watch this. When he was set down on the judgment, his wife sinned unto him. So it had nothing to do with that just man. Boy, that's interesting, isn't it? I know. So, well, I know some preacher, and he said that was, you know, demons or whatever. Pilate, and listen to me. Pilate had a loved one tell him, you're about to make a mistake with Jesus. Now, you know, I mean, there's a lot of theologians. Sometimes I just think they write more than they think. But anyway, we can all agree on this. A loved one gave him good advice about Jesus.
That's right.
We've got to agree on that.
Yes.
Here this morning, and I don't know you all like your pastor does. I know a lot of you. But I don't know all of you. And the ones I do know, I don't know your heart. Brother Randy talked this morning about a lot of us put on suits, but that don't mean what's inside's right.
That's right.
Amen. But the reality is I don't know where you're at, but in your relationship with God. And but if you're here this morning and you don't know for certain that heaven's your home, if you don't know. He said, Brother Chuck, can you really know these things are in that you might know that you have eternal life? Now, folks, I'm not bragging. I pray you won't think I'm bragging. I've got more reason to believe that I'm a child of God than that I'm a child of Travis and Hildred Hudson. I mean, sometimes they get them little bracelets on the wrong one at the hospital. You never know. You never know. I mean, I'm pretty sure we got it right. I'm pretty sure that most of y'all know I'm chasing a rabbit now. That's when you're getting off the subject. But I'm 66. I've been waiting for years to chase rabbits, and I'm going to have my turn. I'll have you to know. You know, yesterday my mama's birthday. 89, and y'all know we buried Dad last year, and I still look at her, and it's like half of her's not there because Dad's not there, you know. But we sorrow not even as others who have no hope. Dad always called Mom Miss America. Dad loved preachers, but buddy, if a preacher ever said something about his wife and made her like a blunt end of a cruel joke. We heard about it going home in the back seat of the, you know, he didn't like that. You honor your wife. You put her on a pedestal.
Yes.
Open the door and give you a chair and thank God for the day you met her and realize she gave you a great compliment when she married you. Look around, guys. Would you marry another fella in here if you was a woman? Ugly. I mean, look around. I mean, we sang happy birthday and with my heart, I don't think I'm Oral Roberts or something. You know, God's never talked to me, but I've never heard him talk. Little girl's all scared to go to her bedroom one night, and Mama said, go on up there. It's okay. God's up there. Go up there and go to bed. And she ran up there and jumped in the bed and pulled the cover up and said, God, if you are up here, don't you say nothing. You'll scare me to death. I've never heard God with the I've never heard anybody from heaven with the ear on my head. But in my heart, I could almost heard somebody say, "Happy birthday, Miss America." You know, heaven's that real to me? Is it that real to you? You say back to you and the bracelet, so you're not so sure you're Terrell Hudson. Well, I'm pretty sure. But I mean, I'm basing upon people that have made lots of mistakes in their life. My salvation is based upon the promise of a God who has never made a mistake, who has never misspoke, who has never got any records crooked, who's never dropped a pile of papers and tried to put them back and get the one in the wrong folder. And my confidence is not in me at all. I don't have any confidence in me. I wouldn't trust the best 15 minutes I've ever lived. My confidence is the one who said that if I put my faith and trust in him that I'd be saved. I did that. I know I did my part. I have faith God did his part. If I ain't saved now, it's God's fault. Go like this. Pilate had a loved one. If you're here this morning and lost, you've probably got somebody that loves you, that would love to see you saved. Maybe a mama, maybe a daddy. If you come here much, there's people in this church have already fallen in love with you. You say, how do you know that? Because I know these people, and they love people, and they love lost people. You've got a loved one. Come in God's house and the smile out in the lobby and the smile on the song leader's face and announcements and that special and people singing and the Sunday school teacher. I care about people. I'm telling you, you can die and go to hell, but you can't die and go to hell and say nobody cared about me. You can't do that. You've got a loved one that loves you, cares about you. That then the voice of Christ himself. Matthew 27 and verse number 14, run and look at that. And he answered him to every word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. That you say, well, why didn't Jesus answer him? Jesus did answer at another time, but for a while, when Jesus was before Pilate, your King James Bible will teach you, Jesus wouldn't say anything. It brings up an interesting question, why not? Pilate another time said, don't you know that I could have you killed? And you know, and I'm just sitting there saying, Lord, turn him into a frog. You know. But it's true that for a while Jesus said nothing. Which brings up a real good question. Why? Why wouldn't he? Because he was standing there taking my place and yours. He was in our stead. Isaiah 53:7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Why? Because there is no excuse for us not being saved. There is no reason why we should go to heaven without the blood of Christ applied. And there was that time when Jesus standing there showed that he was standing there in the place of judgment. Because you stand before God someday, you'll have nothing to say to excuse your lost condition. There's nothing to say. Does that make sense? Are you staying with me? That right now God's speaking. John 18:34-38. Run over there. Let me read you that. John 18:34. Jesus answered, "Sayest thou this of thyself, or did others tell thee?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of..." This is where Jesus is talking back. "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, and I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said thus, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, "I find no fault at all." That's I got a lot, but I need to watch my clock. Listen to me. If you're here this morning, God's speaking to you. One time when Jesus went and he spoke, and because the Bible says, therefore they believed not on him. You go down two more verses, therefore they could not believe. Again, I'm not a Calvinist, but you cannot put truth on ice. Pilate's heart was hardened. Theologians sit and argue for days. You know, who hardened Pilate's heart? Pilate, Pharaoh. I had you confused, didn't I? Pharaoh's heart was hardened. That some people say, well, the Bible says God did it. Some people say Pharaoh did it. Well, I know he had a hard heart. You know, when you reject truth, you flip the light off, you curse yourself to walk in darkness.
Yes.
You reject the truth, you curse yourself to believe a lie.
Yep.
And when you say you cannot do despite to the grace of God and say no and no and no and no and no without it affecting you.
Right.
Old timers used to preach a sermon on when the lights go out on the road to hell. God will warn and God will beg and God will plead and God is merciful and God is long-suffering. But nowhere does it say that God is eternally suffering. And you can say no, 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 no until you get to the spot to where you're calloused and hear not God speaking to your heart like he used to.
Right.
You say, doesn't Romans 10:13 work? Of course it works. But you can get your heart in such a position, the odds of you praying that prayer will become slimmer and slimmer and slimmer. Now, that's not real popular preaching,
right,
but it's true. And your point is, my point is today is the day of salvation, and now is the accepted time, and you need to trust Christ today. I'll do it tomorrow. I don't know how many people I've preached to on Sunday and preached their funeral. Preached their funeral. A young man came to church years ago and came with his brother and his... He came forward and I led him to Christ. He's 14 years or something. Here he come. Dad was preaching then. I took my Bible, led him to Christ. That Sunday night, had some people over at the house and we was all sitting there, you know, was talking. The phone rang and I picked it up and a boy was screaming. Just screaming. Just preacher, Terrell, screaming, crying. I said, son, I'm sorry. I can't understand you. You got to slow down. I said, I'm not sure who you are. And he called out a name. And I said, son, I don't know you. I'm sorry. And he said, I got saved this morning. I said, oh, gotcha. I said, what in the world? He said, it's my brother. They'd gone home and some boys got out a 40 caliber handgun and got to playing with it. And that thing went off and hit his brother right between the eyes. I preached his funeral. That young man heard the same message preached, but he trusted Christ. That other young man thought, I'm young, I've got all the time in the world. And very little did he realize he was living his last day on this planet. He had heard his last message. He had heard just as I am the last time. Folks, you do not know. You don't know. What is your life? It is even a vapor. It appeareth for a... just a little while. And then it vanisheth away. All right, real quick. Pilate had some pressures. He had pressure of public opinion. Pilate wasn't stupid. He knew everybody wanted Barabbas, and so he gave them Barabbas. Pilate was the governor of Judea. He didn't want to lose that job. He was a materialist. He whatever buttered his bread determined his conduct. He thought my life will change so much if I get saved. My life will change so much if I let Jesus go. I like it here. The clothes, the food, the job, the power. I don't want to mess that up. Now look right at me. Give me two eyes and two ears per head. And if God will help you to remember this, I'm going to say this just as plain as I can. And I'm not the first to say it. Would you listen to a little preacher? Nothing is worth dying and going to hell for. Nothing is worth dying and going to hell for. Now, can we talk? There's nobody here but us. Can we talk? One of the most common excuses that I hear among people is they just want my money. You say, well, homiletically, Brother Terrell, this is really not good structure. Oh, phooey. Now, listen to me. So often people will sit in the church, they'll hear some preacher get up, and this is what goes through their mind. They passed that plate, I saw them, they got a big mountain of bulletin, and they collected $8,000 last week, and they want my money too, and they got more money than I got. You know, can we talk? Number one, giving has nothing to do with going to heaven. We come without price and without cost, and the price has already been paid. Amen? And that person that never puts a dime in the plate, he's going to miss out on a lot of the blessings of God. He will be disobedient. But if he has trusted Christ as his Savior, he's going to die and go to heaven because he's been saved. And you're sitting there trying to think like a Christian, and God's going to change your heart about this matter once you get saved. But you listen to me, giving's got nothing to do with it. Amen? Nothing. Let me say something else while we're on the subject. What if it did? They don't. It don't. If you're going to quote me, be fair and quote me fair on this, okay? I'm just saying, what if it did? It doesn't, but what if it did? What if it's 100,000? What would you do? You're both saying, Brother Joel, I'd be in trouble. Well, yeah, most of us would be. But if you thought about heaven and hell and forever, you know what you would do? You would do everything in your power to get 100,000.
Yes.
Wouldn't you?
Well,
sure you would. Why? Because I don't want to die and go to hell, because heaven is worth it. I'll come up with it. I'll beg, borrow, steal. I'll get it. Wouldn't you? Yeah, of course you would.
Yes.
Well, since money has nothing to do with it at all, and the price has been paid, and it's free, that ought to be an incentive to get saved today, not to put it off.
Right. Amen. Yes.
Isn't that logical? Come now, let us reason together. That's a pressure of pride. The perversity. I'm going to hurry. John 18:31, Pilate said, I'll just ignore it. I've got other things to do. It won't work. Luke 23, he decided to send him off to Herod. Remember that? He heard the word Galilean. Herod! Send him to Herod. Galilean! Herod! What Herod do? Pilate! Send him right back. Your mama's religion is not going to take you to heaven.
That's right.
Your brother, because being a preacher, that's fine, but you don't go to heaven because he's a preacher. You don't go on the coattails of someone else. Every one of us is giving account to God for our own lives. Amen?
Yes.
And then Luke 23:14-15, Pilate kind of argued or admired Jesus, bragged on him a little bit. Said, well, he's a just man, done good things. Josh McDowell, I don't even know if he's still alive, but years ago, and again, I'm not approving of everything he ever said, but he had a good point. He said Jesus was either a liar, he just was pretending to be the Son of God, and he was real good at convincing people, or he was a lunatic. He had mental issues, thought he was God walking around in the flesh, or he was exactly who he said he was Lord.
Yes.
And it's impossible to be a combination of those two. He was either a liar or a lunatic or exactly who he said he was. It doesn't make sense to think he was a lunatic or a liar. What makes sense is that he was exactly who he said he was. He was either a deceiver, or he was deceiving others, or he was deceived himself, thought he was something that he wasn't, or he was deity, and he was exactly who he said he was. You cannot say, well, I'm not against Jesus. He's a great guy, wonderful man in history, done a lot of good. There's about 1 billion people seem to like going to church on Sunday, so that's a good thing. Friend, you can believe that all you want to, and you're going to die and split hell wide open someday unless you understand that he came to die for your sins, was buried, rose again, and that you need to have him living in your heart.
Yes, yes.
It was years ago. I was sitting at the church, and phone rang. I never forget this. I've preached here several times. I don't think I've told this story here. Old Clyde Box used to say, if you've heard this story before, don't move your lips. It confuses me, okay? Oh, that's funny. Don't you think that's funny? But anyway, that phone rang, and hello, is a preacher. And he's in Tennessee. I know him, not real. Dad preached a lot of revivals there. I knew him. But he called me and said, Charlie said, a family from our church, all of them weren't members, but some of them were. He said they've moved to Dayton, and he said there's an elderly man. He's very sick. His death is imminent. And he said they would like for me to come and do the funeral, but I could go preach a revival. And he said it's the other way, and he said I just can't do it. And this church has got ready, and he said, I've asked him if I could send somebody, and they've agreed, and he said, would you go? And I said, yeah, sure. I said, is he still living? He said, he was this morning. He said, but he's right at the point of death. And I told him, I said, I'll go today. I'll go to the house today. I'll see where we're at. And I said, was he saved? And my friend said, no, I don't think so. So I remember it was cold. I drove over to the east side of Dayton. There's older homes, you know, the kind of tall and narrow. You've seen them, you know, older, beautiful homes, but older. And went up and knocked on the door and said so-and-so in Tennessee called me and asked me, thought maybe I could help, and I just want to stop by. And they said, sure, real nice. Invited me in. I walked in the door. I'll never forget it. Walked in the door, and there were two guys from Tobias Funeral Home. I've done hundreds of funerals, so I know the staffs. And I looked at him and said, hey, guys. And I'm thinking, well, he's gone. And I said, well, I guess you all are, he's passed away. And they said, no, he's upstairs. We're just taking care of some details right now. And I said, oh. I said, can I go talk to him? I said, sure. Older home, stairs over against the one wall, and kind of dimly lit. And I made my way up, tapped on the door, and didn't know what state he was in, but he was talking. I mean, he could talk to me. He understood what I was saying. Could I come in? Sure. And I went in and talked about Tennessee a little bit, and I said, I want to ask you if you died today. You know, we say that all the time, but when I said at that time, I'm thinking there's a real good chance you're going to die today. Right. I said, if you die today, do you know for certain you go to heaven? He said, no, I don't. I said, well, growing up in Tennessee, you probably heard the gospel. He said, yeah, many times. I said, why in the world? How do you grow up and a lot of people are saved? And he said, I don't know. And this isn't exact quotes. This has been back a while. But the gist of it was, I just haven't. And I wasn't going to ask him if I could open my Bible and go through the plan of salvation. I said, I'm going to show you. So I pulled my Bible out, and one little lamp was lit, and there was a chair there, and I sat down in that chair, and I wanted him to see it. And I pushed the chair back. I got down on my knees, and I flipped over the Bible, and I said, no, let's go over this again. And Romans 3, you know, 3:20, for all of sin it comes short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. I'm a sinner, you're a sinner, Billy Graham's a sinner, the Pope is a sinner. He agreed with everything I said. The wages of sin is death. That's like dying and going to hell. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. Revelation 20:14, went over that. He said, yeah. But God commends his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I said, you believe that? He said, yeah, I believe the Bible's true. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, sir, right now, right here. I said, taking care of this, you could, if you bow your head and do what this verse says, will you be saved? He said, yeah, yeah, that's what it says. And I said, let's do that together. Just bow your head and invite Christ into your heart. And he said, not now. Not now. And I said, sir, you may outlive me, but you know you're sick. And I said, you know how? I really believe God sent me here tonight. I said, I'd love to pray with you, and I'll help you. And he said, I know, but I'm not ready. I'm just not ready. I said, why don't you? It's so simple. And I put down the verse. I said, you don't get this close to not. I told every story I could come up with. I brought up every illustration. I said, you can repeat after me, and if you really mean it in your heart, I believe God will hear that prayer. And he never was rude. He wasn't rude. He just said, preacher, I'm really getting tired. I need to rest, and maybe we talk later or something. And I gave him a track. I said, man, I don't have to be here. I got to go, but you can ask God to save you. And he said, I'm really tired. And I went driving home that night, and I wanted to turn around and go back and run back up them steps and kneel down again and say, listen to me, you know, but I just And I thought, how in the world do you know how to be saved? And you're laying there, somebody's got a Bible in your face, and they're downstairs making your funeral, and it's probably going to be in a few days. How do you say? I said, he's dying. I'm talking to God like God didn't know that. I said, God, he's dying. It's almost like the Lord said to me, Terrell, they're all dying. That guy up in the car, he's dying. You're dying. The guy behind you is dying. They're all dying. And that I preached his funeral. To my knowledge, he's in the devil's hell this morning. He said maybe he got saved after you left. Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. He said, Brother, are you trying to scare me? Yeah. Yeah, buddy. Absolutely. If I can scare you into heaven, you'll thank me someday. Amen. I'd jump and yell boo as loud as I can. But I do want you to know that life is uncertain, and heaven and it is sweet, and hell is awful, and you and I are going to leave here someday, and without Christ, you'll go out into a crisis eternity. What happened to Pilate? I don't know. I would suspect he's in hell. I heard as a child that he died in an insane asylum, wringing his hands, saying, I have nothing to do with the blood of this just person. A lot of preachers say that, and I don't know. I studied that. Whole truth is, there's a lot of question, was that just a tradition or a fable, or did that actually happen? And I don't know. I'm not sure. If the Bible said, we'd know, but the Bible don't say, so we don't know. So what happened? I don't know. Wouldn't it be wonderful to get to heaven and find out he came to his senses and trusted Christ?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? Me and you both kind of doubt that, but it would be wonderful if that's what happened. But whatever has happened has happened, and it is now settled one way or another for eternity.
Yes.
But whatever happened, it's settled now for eternity. What's going to happen with you if you're here without Christ this morning? It's not settled yet. You know what you've got? I figured out the math for Moraine Heights. I haven't figured it out for Kazadale, but as long as this building has been here, there's an incredibly high probability that somebody has sat in your pew, heard Travis Burke or Bill Webb or somebody preach the gospel, said no, somewhere along the line the last time, is in the devil's hell today. That would give every penny they ever had in all their life for what you've got right now. It's one more chance. One more chance. Today's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. Trust the Savior. You say, it scares me. Would God really put me in hell because I'm just so afraid? You read Revelation, but the fearful and unbelieving. The fearful. You're sitting next to somebody come up here with you if you'd ask them. Help me, church. Somebody you know or don't know walked over and said, I need to get something settled. I'm kind of scared. Walk up there with me. How many of you would walk up with that person right now if they'd just ask it? Look around. You're surrounded by people that care about them. They really do. They mean that. Get it settled. Get it settled. Trust Christ.